Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
No one's intervened on behalf of...
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle TCG Cast!
Hello, hello, Puckleonians, and welcome to episode 52 of the Puckle TCG Cast. I am your host, Lord Jashir, and here we are, right back at you with another show. We did the full Forbidden review, the two last episodes before the last one, and then the last one we tackled the news of the rotation. So it's been a lot of talks about what's going on in overall the TCG Cast. I wanted to dedicate this show to what happens in Puckle, mainly the 2018 annual Puckle tournament, TCG tournament. And that's what we want to talk about today. And of course, I'm not going to talk about that by myself, because we're bringing in someone you already know. And that is, some say that when the zombie apocalypse starts, he doesn't try to survive. The zombies try to survive. It's R Sigma.
I terrify them. I terrify them so much.
Now, we do have a new voice, but an old member of the community, and one that reads so high in the ranks. This guy, not only do we feature him in this show today because he was amazing in the tournament and did what he did, but also shout out to him because in the last PuckleCon, he was of incredibly great help, and he's always been a supporter member of our community, and he deserves a shout out for that alone, not to mention what we're celebrating today, and that is his victory in the tournament. And that is, some say that he will never had a heart attack, because even a heart isn't foolish enough to attack him. It's Beaverla.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for having me.
And I appreciate all the nice things you said, too.
Oh, of course. And now, Beaverla here, you've been an active community, active member of the community. People know you as the second place of the annual Puckle tournament. We wanted to have D-Babs here, but scheduling, he's a busy guy, and it was really difficult. So, but the invitation for D-Babs, the first place winner of the tournament, is an open one. So whenever he's ready, whenever we can manage it out and do a schedule, we want to have you in, if not to talk about the tournament, because that's what we're doing right now. For sure, pick a topic and we'll talk about that with you. So that invitation for D-Bats is there. Don't get me wrong, the original plan was to have both Beaverla and D-Babs, but we couldn't get D-Babs in. But Beaverla is just as good, so welcome, welcome. Now, guys, the show today is going to be a little bit short, so we're going to skip the news, although, to be honest, nothing really has happened since last week. So we're going to go ahead and move on to topical beats, so we'll be right back.
Grab your ice-cold Corsola Cola and pull up a chair. It's time for Tropical Beach.
And we are back to Tropical Beach. You can feel the wind in your face, the sand under your feet, and the sun in your eyes. Here at Tropical Beach, we're going to discuss none other than the Puckle 2018 TCG Tournament. It's our second tournament overall that we done in Puckle last year. Our boy Grimscore took the first place. This time it was D-Babs and Beaverlat took the really close lead. I mean, to be completely honest, I thought you were going to win. Like, D-Babs came out of nowhere for me and got first place. But you were really good throughout the whole tournament. Really steady there. So that was great. And I want just to take this opportunity, this show, to talk a little bit. Now, I brought our Sigma specifically as well because he also participated in the tournament. So he can also give us some highlights and some information. Now, enough of me speaking. Let's go ahead and start this fun talk about the tournament. First of all, to both you and Braverly and our Sigma, what did you guys overall think about the tournament? How was it in terms of difficulty, in terms of the variety of decks that you saw? Overall, how would you rank your enjoyment playing this this tournament? Any bad answers, you'll be banned forever. But that don't worry about that. We do not, by any sort, infringe on First Amendment rights here. So, Beaver, let's start with you. How was your turn in the tournament? How did it go?
So, I like the way the tournament's set up. I like how you give everybody a week to get their matches in and that everybody is able to like kind of fit their schedule the best they can. Because obviously the community is so large now that trying to get all these people to do this
in different times, in a short time.
And for how smooth it runs and how every single week it seems like everybody was still done by Sunday, no matter how crazy schedules got. I mean, I really appreciate that. And then, deck variety. I played a different deck each time.
Oh,
I got lucky.
That's great news.
Yeah, I didn't hit a single steel deck, which did me a lot of favors. And until the last round, my draw engine didn't fail me, which seems to happen a lot more in like real life than it does in TCGO.
Yeah.
But no, this is, like I said, the second year of me competing in it, and I love it. I think that you guys do it so smoothly. And yeah, I have no complaints at all.
Oh, thank you. The negative stuff was all a joke. You didn't have to take to heart.
I was being honest. Don't worry. I would tell you if I felt.
Oh, I know you would. what about you, Sigma? Any highlights overall? Like nothing specific highlights about the tournament? Things that you enjoyed? Things that you didn't? That you think you should change for next time?
Well, I actually also played mostly different decks each round. The closest thing I got was an Espeon Garb and a Drampa Garb in what I played against. So that was nice.
Yeah, and I mentioned when Beaverla said that too, I mentioned my surprise. It was because last year in the first tournament, I did participate. And I encountered like three Garbodor's Glaceon, Espeon GX, like in a row. Mm. And it's like, seriously? Aren't there more decks out there? So I was afraid that was going to happen again. But luckily, that didn't happen. So that's very, very great.
Yeah. And then I always tried to schedule my match, like, first thing in the week. Like, I want to say my first game was done the night that pairings were announced. And then after you have your... Unlike video game tournaments, like, these are... Well, you already have your team set, so... Might as well get it over with as early as you can, and I love that part of this tournament. Because right now I'm in the draft league, and that's where you look at a team sheet, and it's like, oh no, I have to prepare so much for this, and in this, I don't, because it's like I'm playing the same deck.
Yeah. I have no idea how the VGC tournaments works whatsoever. I've not had the pleasure of actually playing in one, so I do not know. Now, back to Beaverla, I did want to ask, what deck did you use to win second place in this tournament? And why did you go with that?
So it's funny that you were talking about Espeon Garb, because that's what I play. That's what I have built. It's why I normally use the Climb the Ladder to get the ladder done like as soon as the ladder resets. And it's also what I play in real life, especially now that Buzzwall is just everywhere.
Yes.
So... But I had a feeling that since it's TCGO and it's all about getting your cards as fast as possible, I was going to see a lot of Zoroark. Yeah. So I also have my Zoroark with a Gardevoir variant built. Ooh. And I dropped one of my Gardevoir out of the second Gallade And it was actually more of a Gallade deck, focusing more on being able to snipe Zoroark from the bench. So I actually bumped up four Guzma and just kind of really focused my deck on getting my Gallade out, being able to set up for the next turn to be able to take out anything that was up there. And like I said, I got real lucky. I hit no steel decks because that was a big risk, especially at that time. The meta had really shifted towards steel.
Yeah.
And I was really afraid that I was going to end up paying the price for it, but I didn't, luckily. And like I said, I drew really well. The first four games, I had probably the best draw that I ever had. But yeah, I love Gardevoir. It's the first Gardevoir EX. Is actually the first deck I took to my first national tournament 2 years ago.
Nice.
And I don't feel as bad playing Gardevoir online as I do playing it in real life. I feel like a bad guy. Like, you're sitting there just loading energy on the Gardevoir and it's like, sorry.
But that's awesome. But I just noticed that it's probably me that I'm not pronouncing correctly. The deck I meant to say when I said all the that I've encountered was Garbordor and Espeon. Not Gardevoir.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that yes. Mm-hmm. Espeon Guard. Yeah, okay. Because the way especially now I run it with two Trash Lanch, two Garbotoxin.
Okay.
So, but yeah. That's really good now that Buzzwall is just everywhere.
Oh God, yes, it's going to get a lot less once all the fighting support leaves in the next rotation, which is kind of sad for me.
No,
you don't think so?
Nah, Buzzwall will be fine.
Oh no, I'm not saying that Buzzwall will not be fine, but it's going to lose a lot of support. So it's worth mentioning that being able to hit 50 and 30 on the bench for one strong energy. Being not able to do that is good. it's a little balancing act, if nothing else. What about you, Sigma? What did you play?
Well, I played Vika Bulu. So I had fun.
Any alterations to it, or did you just went on straight on classic Bulu?
It was a really tough decision right before the tournament whether I wanted to run a one of for Charge a Bug. I did not. it was a really tough decision, and I'm kind of glad that I did. I did have the one of Tapu Koko promo, which actually did do really well for me in one of my games against Seth Philo because he had a Celesteela Celesteela GX that I had to deal with, and Tapu Koko can do that, especially when you charge it up with the Vikavolts. It's a nice little thing. But sadly, my first game was against Grimek Score, and he was playing the Espeon Garb. And if you don't draw well against them, you lose. So,
yeah.
But that was my only loss in the tournament, so I was able to win out after that.
Well, that's good, and which brings the next question you answered ahead of time. But it goes to Beaverla now. What was the most challenging deck that you encountered, even if you won, you only lost once, or even if it's a game that you won, what was the most challenging game against who and what deck?
It was the last round against Vikabulu. I mean, without being able to stop abilities, it really sucks going against that deck. And it's the reason why I like playing Garbotoxin in real life, because shutting down abilities and kind of like maintaining the round that way makes life so much easier. But in my deck, like, I need the abilities too, so it's not even realistic. But man, he just kept getting the energy out there, and like my Gardevoir it couldn't keep up. Which, I mean, when he's going on what turn two, being able just to smack everything around is just, I needed time to evolve. And even with a four rare candies, I was just not getting my stuff down fast enough.
Well, it's part of the game, man. It's the shuffle and the draw. It's the RNG that keeps us all really neatly on the ground when it comes to all that. So knowing what you guys spent, the way the games went and how your decks performed and the type of deck that you encountered on the tournament, just looking back at the whole thing overall, was there any adjustments that you would have wished that you would have done to your deck? Let's start with you, Beaverla.
Yeah, so I was only running a 2-2 Zoroark line. And looking back on it, I think I would have tried to cut some space to have a at least a 3-3. Because in that deck build, I mean, whenever you're running Zorak in a deck, Zorak is your main thing, and then everything else is your support for Zorak, I guess, if you look at it kind of backwards.
Yeah.
And so since I was too focused on my Gallade, and since I dropped out the third Zorak line, I was not able to get stuff down. And I really think that if you're going to run that variant, you have to have a 3-3 line to do it consistently and in consecutive matches.
Yeah, that makes total sense. What about you, Sigma?
I think I might have tried to find some more room for either another Tapu Koko promo or another Mew from Fates Collide. Just because I hate that psychic matchup so much. I already have three field bowlers to get rid of abilities. But
oh, wow,
I think my Mew was prized. I think my Mew was prized in one of those matches, so it was rough.
Wow, yeah.
Also starting free retreat is great.
Yes, free retreat at the start is like the best. I've been playing a shameless plug, a stream every Monday and Tuesday and Thursday, guys. Don't miss it. I did test out Greninja GX. It started out horrible the night, losing to about everything. And then midway, once I was midway through the stream, I started to get the hang of it, or the tea/whiskey really kicked in. And I started winning games nonstop, and I finished the night really, really awesome, and I'm feeling happy that Greninja. Anyway, the point of bringing Greninja into the mold, So playing Greninja, I encountered that deck depends a lot of switching for now, right? That deck basically still in beta. But I've, all the deck lists that I've seen online, with three or four float stones, because you really need to switch around with that deck. Being able to, like, when you get something in your start, and it's like, oh, God, I have whatever, Tapu Lele on the start, or even that's the worst case scenario. But having Oranguru at the start is a really, really big setback. But when you have, like, so many float stones or so many ways to get rid of it, it's not that bad. And it's you really do get a sense of, oh, wait, no, this is not a draw set. This is just something I have to move around. Something that with other decks, as I was playing, like Metacross, I started with the wrong card, and it's downhill from there unless I can fix it ASAP. So I totally understand on your point there on the Tapu Koko and being able to just start with the cards that you need. Now, you guys set up on your deck. Oh, you was gonna say something?
Yeah, I was gonna say, well, I wasn't running any Bloodstone either, so all of my switching was through either a one of switch or Guzma. So
wow, okay.
that was the backlist, so that's what I took.
Hey, you brought the 2019 rotation to the 2018 tournament, so that's fine. Because we won't have Floatstone for longer either. So you guys set up on your decks.
Well, some
You guys set up on your decks early on, and you participated. Now, was there a second runner-up in terms of decks that you thought, you were between these two decks, and you ended up, of course, with the one that you actually used? But what was, you had a second deck where you were like, I am considering playing this. Sigma, let's start with you. Would you had a second option?
I was actually considering Espeon Garbodor, but I was like, no, I want to have a little more fun. This isn't fun.
Why not?
I don't like shutting down abilities and confusing people and then spreading damage and killing little basics on the bench. It's so fun.
What I'm listening, R. Sigma, is that you don't like to win.
I don't like to win in boring ways.
Fair enough. What about you, Beaverly? Any runner-up decks that you thought that you were going to play in this tournament?
Yeah, so like R. Sigma said, I was definitely considering running Espeon Garb. That's what I play in real life, and it's really consistent, and it wins. But playing it, like he said, on TCGO, it's kind of boring, right? Because it slows things down. So I was actually considering running Ho-Oh Volk because I was so sure I was going to see Steel. Just because of where the meta was at when that tournament started, I really thought I was going to see it. I'm happy I didn't. because I didn't see any steel. Yeah, but I thought for sure that would be running everywhere.
Yeah, and that comes directly in a more overall open discussion in the sense that in each type of tournament, you see great players going with already known decks instead of what's new, because it is not necessarily always the best idea to go with what's new and hip, mostly because most people want to try that, but it's best to just go with what you already know, at least at the time, than practicing for a new meta. At least that's the way I take it. You guys might have a disagreement on that. Yes? No? How do you guys prepare?
I guess it depends how you look at the tournament. I mean, I looked at it as a way to, like I'm gearing up for internats here next month. So back then, I was really considering Gardevoir because I was hoping that, like, as the meta got closer and closer to internationals, like, it was going to come back into focus. And it really hasn't. The Ultra Beasts, like Ultra Box, is now so good.
Yeah.
And the ability with Espeon Garb to shut down that deck and to just destroy Buzzwole, because Buzzwole is also just everywhere.
Yes.
I don't think Gardevoir is going to do that well internationals, unless something crazy happens. And like, I've been looking at the new set, I don't see anything coming to flip the meta. So But like I said, at that point, I was kind of hoping the Gardevoir would come back, since I spent all that lovely money getting my nice Gardevoirs in real life. But, oh well, that's how the game works.
That definitely is how the game works. Now, to end this discussion and enter the mailbag, what show is this? Trainer's Mail and Deck of the Episode. final thoughts. Let's start with you, Beaverla. Any final thoughts on the tournament? Any tips and tricks that you want to tell our listeners at home, or the guys that haven't participated in the tournament yet, because maybe, you know, they felt they haven't been ready, or they're a little bit scared of how it works, or intimidated, maybe they have social anxiety and don't really want to interact that much with people. Any tips in general as to the flow and how these tournaments are, and just in general? Go ahead.
No, I would honestly tell anybody who listens to this show or in the community or anything like that to come out for it. I mean, it's pretty laid back. Everybody's really nice. Like, I slept through. Actually, I got home from work and I crashed, and I slept through like the first hour when I was supposed to play somebody, like my third round. And I hopped on Discord. I was like, yo, I'm so sorry. Can you do it? And he was there. And like, he's really understanding, like, things happen. And no, everybody's really nice. There was no BMing, which is like the worst thing about TCGO. Like, it's so frustrating when people do that, but there was none of that. The community is so nice, and I would honestly say that anybody who's interested should try to do it. But the only thing I would say, like, for the future is I would love to see, like, more of these tournaments. I understand it takes a long time, but I think a cool variant would be, like a theme deck tournament where, like, the playing ground's more leveled, or even, like,
like where your head's going at. In fact, that was my news for the end of this topic.
or even like a rogue deck tournament. Like, no one plays like any like top meta decks. Like,
yeah,
a deck like I like to play even now is before it rotates out is Houndoom. I mean, I can mill.
Yeah, that's real.
Because I love the mill
cut there.
And like at my league, like once a month, we have a night set aside for people just to bring in like fun decks. Like, someone plays Avalug. Like, just stuff that you're never going to see in a tournament, yeah. But it breaks up the monotony of, like, constant competition.
Seeing the same faces, the same guard borders, the same bus rules every time. Yeah, totally understand.
And allows you to see other cards. Maybe, like, seeing cards in the deck will give you an idea for your own deck, too. But just things like that. Like, since the community is so cool, I think it's really reasonable to... like, if you were to try to do that, you wouldn't have someone just drop in and be like, well, I didn't know Greninja GX was going to be a good deck. It's like, yeah, you did. But this way, you wouldn't see that, I don't think, because the community is so kind. Yeah. But no, I mean, no complaints about the tournament. Like I said, the way you guys run it, it's smooth because you give people flexibility. And no, it's fun. And anybody who's on the fence, just do it. Just have fun.
Yes, that's the point I wanted to come across. It's just fun. No intimidation. Do not worry. This Puckle really is the best community I've ever been in, and you will find no better group of people that are so willing and understanding and just into Pokemon in general, whatever we're doing, it's fine, because we're playing Pokemon, and that's the whole point of Puckle, and that's why we're here. And what Beaverless said, I'm going to take his recommendation right now, because my big announcement is, and most of you listening already know this, already know or have been hinted that I've been planning a second event this year, and that is going to be the first ever annual theme deck tournament. The reason why we went with theme decks is because I want even more people to participate, and theme decks is by far the easiest way. The rules are going to be really simple, and obviously I'm giving you a teaser right now. There is not a set date, only a set moment, and that is fall of 2018. That's when we're planning to have this tournament. So somewhere, anywhere from September to October, I'm aiming for. So stay tuned for that. And then, because it's theme deck, no one gets to alter those decks. Whatever theme deck either you purchase or gotten or something in your PTCGO, that's what you're playing with. So everyone's in the same battleground. So choose your favorite. Maybe do some research. Check which one is the theme deck for you. And participate with us. That's coming on definitely for sure soon later this year. So much hype for that. We're going to keep on hyping that. But we're going to keep on hyping as we get into the next section, which is Deck of the Episode. We'll be right back.
Yo, it's your boy Guzma, and it's time to break down the deck of the episode.
Hello, hello, we're back, and it's Deck of the Episode, where you guys submit your suggestions for Deck of the Episode, and we scrutinize them, embarrass you, and then choose whether or not we like it. So let's start with the first one. I'll take it away, and it's our boy Savage Fire, and he writes, "Hey, Jishiro and Malicious Co-host, as I incorrectly sent my Deck of the Episode last time, I feel tempted to send a second in for good measure. I feel devastated by the rotation. So here is a deck that with pretty much all expanded cards. It's a base of the Gengar that Jishiro said never worked. I happened to be at a summer camp a year ago, and I opened the breakthrough pack only to find a Trevenant break. I only now realize its potential. So here is the deck." So our boy here, Savage Fire, sends in his suggestion, and it's Trevenant. Starts with, we have for the Pokemon 20 Pokemons, and that's 4 Fauntumps, 2 Trevenants from X and Y, and 3 from X and Y, and 1 from Breakpoint. We got the 3 Trevenant Breaks. We got 2 Gastlys, 1 Hunter, 2 Gengars. This is the Freak Show Gengar. We got 2 Renarades, of course, and 2 Octillery, which are draw support. Based on the Pokemon alone, Sigma, let's start with you. What do you think of our boy Savage Fire here and what he brought to the table?
So, Trevenant and Trevenant Break are actually really, really good decks in Expanded already.
Yeah.
And what those decks do is you just get a Trevenant turn 1 by using a Tapu Lele into a Wally. And then your opponent cannot play.
No item card.
You don't even need. Yeah, you don't even need the Lele, right? Isn't Fourth Giant Plant still legal and expanded, or do they get banned?
It's banned in general. They banned it.
Never mind, ignore
me. It was broken.
Yeah. It wasn't broken in Standard. If they allowed it to play in Expanded, it was going to be way too broken because there's so many cards there.
Yeah, it saw a nice resurgence slightly.
So what you're saying is, play this, but without the Gengar?
Pretty much, because what happens is you can slowly weaken down all of your opponent's Pokemon, and then you use, like, Enhanced Hammers and Crushing Hammers, well, maybe not so much Crushing Hammers, but Lysanders to mess up where your opponent's Pokemon are, and since they can't play Float Stones, then they can't really retreat either. They'll have to Guzma, and usually Expanded decks only play 1 or 2 Guzma because they plan on VS Seekering them back. So it doesn't actually matter. And Mysterious Treasure made this deck really good recently.
Shut up. what about you, Beaverla? Anything you want to add to that? Or basically Sigma said everything that needed to be said?
I think when it comes to Trevenant, Sigma covered everything. I mean, get it out, stop everybody from doing anything, and just go. I mean, the only I don't play Expanded, but I think the only other deck you'd even need to worry about would be Night March, right?
Yeah.
Because that doesn't really rely on abilities.
Night March is based on a coin flip because they do require a lot of items to set up.
Yeah. That's so if you win the coin flip, okay.
If you win the coin flip, but, things are really good.
So the one thing I would say is add Karen just to be safe, because then you don't have to worry about it, and it's just a one of.
That's so and the trainer cards going through them pretty basic. We got the Sycamores, the Wallys, two Wallys in this case. We got one Lysander, one Judge, four VS Seekers, which is pretty standard for Expanded. We got the three Ultra Balls, three Trainer's Mail. We got three Level Ball, two Hit Ringers, two Floatstone, two Acrobike, one Rare Candy, three Dimensional Valleys with the Energy 7 Psychic, and three Mystery. Now, pretty much all that I just mentioned is pretty standard, I believe, for a Tremonant deck. Go ahead.
You'll want more ends because you're usually playing from behind. Like, usually you'll lose a Trevenant or two before you start taking knockouts on your opponent's Pokemon, because you're doing like 30 damage at a time to everything. So your ends will lower their hand count while still drawing you six most of the time. And Cynthia's really good too. So, standard drawers.
Perfect. And there you go. He ends the email by saying, "Thanks for taking the time to read my email and have a good week. And Jashiro, if you do not get better, I will slap you via Discord to Tyrantrum's flip-flop savage." Now, that's in reference to the fact that I was dying when I got back from my vacation and couldn't stream or record until I got better because I was just dead. Now, moving on to the next one. Beaverla, take it away.
Okay, I've been tinkering with this deck without looking at it. Looking at what other lists using this mod might be like. The Lion of the Sun himself, Solgaleo. I recently acquired a pair of Solgaleo GX from a friend who opened a ton of random theme decks he got and decided to try to get a go with this fearsome cat. Solgaleo is the single most important card of the deck. Being able to only run one can really put you in a bind, which is why I added Mew, so you can get the energy retrieval without putting your perfect cat at risk. When the energy train gets rolling, it's not amazing, but it's a lot of fun. Solgaleo GX ability is super handy to keep the good times rolling. Max potions can make your mon annoyingly immortal. And Brock's favorite hat, aka the frying pan, makes those fire Pokemon cry. It won't ever be a top cut deck, but if you like careful energy management, then this is a great deck for the PTCGO ladder. Keep on flip-flopping, Bob Tech. So he has, for his Pokemon, two Dustmane Necrozma, one Solgaleo, three Solgaleo GX, three Cosmog, one Mew, one Tapu Lele, and one Cosmoleum. So you know he's running those rare candy.
Oh, yes. And that single Solgaleo is obviously the Prism Star Solgaleo.
Yes, sorry. The Prism Star.
So based on that, Beaverla, what do you think?
So I like the idea of it. And I don't think if you're trying to base the deck around it, unless you're willing to put in a Magneton, what's Magneton evolve into?
Magnezone.
Thank you. Yeah, that'd be the only thing I would suggest, because that is awful. I mean, that with Paramount Coronet is like one of the worst things ever.
Especially
with Gardevoir still kind of running around, like being able to have that energy retrieval and that energy buildup. So like, yeah, you max potion, you pull the energy right back out of the discard using Mount Coronet, and then you put it all back down on the field using Magnezone. It's brutal. So the only thing I would even say to try to do would be to figure out how to get yourself a couple Magnezone in there, because
I agree. I think this deck could use one less Solgaleo GX. I don't know. I think I would get rid of that Mew as well.
I would.
No.
Why not?
I don't mind the Mew. Because Buzzwole is the thing.
Yeah, but you aren't really worried
about it. But it
only does base.
I mean, I guess it doesn't matter because Dustmane kills everything anyway. So,
exactly. Yeah. It just one shots everything, so.
Yeah, get rid of it because it's the only basic in the deck it's taking the deck from is Dusk Mane, so.
Yeah. And so Galil, the Altar Prism. But yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true too.
Mm-hmm.
There
it may be a second Lele. Maybe a second Lele. I think running one is a little bit too risky because you want to at least be able to get your supporter if you need it, especially that turn one Bridget. So yeah. I always would say be safe, especially if you're trying to build for any kind of standard format, you need to have at least two Lele to really try to keep it going.
I definitely agree. Okay, moving on though to the trainer cards. You want to cover that real quick?
Absolutely. He has two metal frying pans, four Ultra Ball, three N, two Mount Coronet, four Rare Candy, four Sycamore, one Super Rod, one Bridget, three Cynthia, two Field Blower, two Guzma, four Max, two Heavy, three Choice, two more Max. Oh, Max, four Max Elixir, two Max Potions. Sorry, I should be more specific. And then 10 metal energy. One Bridget makes me nervous. This is somebody who, like I said, I played Guard of War.
And especially if you're playing guard. Just one Tapu Lele, like running one.
Yeah, it's really scary.
Cutting it really close there.
Because those heavy balls are not going to help you turn one. They're just not. Mm-hmm. And that makes me nervous. Also, because of the way, like how fast and how heavy this deck can hit, I would even suggest maybe going for four Cynthia 2N. Because you want to make sure you get your cards and you really aren't that concerned about what they're doing. Because for you, it's all about having that full hand. To be, so like I said, to use your max potions, clear your damage off, and come back out hitting. So, but that'd be the only thing I would. That's just nitpicking, though.
No, I 100% agree with you what you just said. What about you, Sigma? Anything that you would change?
No, I think it looks pretty solid, and the recommendations you guys gave are great.
Perfect, and that's our suggestion from our boy Baltak. Thank you so much for writing in, and then lastly. The last deck we're going to add here to the run is by none other than our friend from North, from the true white North. 10 little man, take it away, Sigma.
Congrats to Pokebabs for the win. I was rooting for you from week one. Oh, and hey, Jushiro and whatever wonderful co-host is on this episode. 10 little men.
Well, substitute Pokedabs with Beaverla. Yep. But Pokedabs will be on the episode soon as we can figure it out. Go on.
Yeah. Ten Little Man is back again, bringing you the hottest decks this side of Jank City. This week, I found myself faced with the difficult choice of what deck to send in. Do I send in my own Triassic Park build to win the Jushiro vote? Or do I...
Oh, you sly devil, you.
Or do I actually send a half-decent deck to appeal to Sublime or Gator?
Love it.
Then, like a bolt of lightning, it struck me. Instead of doing something smart like that, I decided to make the best deck I could around Nidoking. Without further ado...
I love this man so much.
The Royal Squids.
May I also add that I think that he was the only one to name his deck? Am I wrong here? I don't think Savage Fire gave a name to his deck, and I don't think Baltak either.
Looking at the emails, I do not believe so.
Yeah, so I think 10 Little Man is over the curve on this one, but we're going to hold it fair. We're not going to take it against the other two, but name your decks. The crazier names that you name your deck, the better. So go ahead. Continue on, Sigma. Sorry.
All right. So here we go.
The Royal Squids. Love it.
We have 27 Pokemon. So get ready.
Wow.
We've got two Alolan Grimer, three Inkay, four Nidoran, two Tapu Lele GX, two Alolan Mux from Sun and Moon, that's the one that locks down your basic abilities, three Malamar, three Nidorino, four Nidoking, and a 2/2 of Remoraid Octillery.
Okay, so right off the bat, I'm not too familiar for what Nidoking does, so maybe you can help me here, Sigma. What is this deck about?
That's what we're looking up. I mean, I'm going to assume we're going to be powering things up with... Ooh, it's I know that
Alolan,
okay.
Alolan Muk, for example, GX, shuts down much basic. Like Glaze, basic abilities, if I'm not mistaken. So we
on basic Pokemon, I think, right?
Yeah, on only basic yeah. Pokemon, yeah. It's definitely a poor man's Garbodor.
All right. Yes.
Which is so, funny, because GX. Go ahead.
I have found the Nidoking. It is the Steam Siege Nidoking. As okay. an ability that doesn't matter. Because its ability yes. says, your Nidoking's attacks do an additional 20 damage, and there are none of those here. What we're really doing...
Oh, God. Uh-huh.
What we're really doing here is this attack called Power Lariat. For two psychics and a colorless, it does 60 plus damage. This plus damage, however, is 30 damage for each evolution Pokemon on your bench.
Okay.
So apart
okay.
from that Tapu Lele, each thing on your bench should be doing an extra 30 damage, okay. which sounds kind of cool.
So you got the Alolan Muk to shut down those pesky basic that want to have abilities, but then if they dare, yeah. if they have the audacity to evolve, Nidoking will surely damage them.
Yeah, we're not letting anyone use invasion on us. we're shutting
we're
down.
Not gonna, all, yeah, we're gonna shut that down right here, right now. No way.
Shutting down some Beyonce. For some very stars.
This deck has a very selected outrage, that's for sure.
Well, that Lele too, obviously. It's just hard yeah. to turn on.
Yeah. and then, could you read through the trainer? Well, before that, sorry, Beaverlet, do you have anything you want to add about, or comments, suggestions, or just comments?
So, spoiler, Nidoking is my favorite Pokemon that's not legendary. I actually have almost every single Nidoking TCG card ever made.
Nice.
So to see this and actually looking at it, like, I kind of like it. I can kind of see where he's coming with it. I mean, looking at the whole deck, I would definitely drop the Grimers and the Mucks because
yeah.
it's too slow for what you're trying to do. And I would do what you do with any other stage two and go with your four Nidoran, four Nidoking, drop two of those Nidorino. And just go with the one and four rare candy and kind of build it in a similar way like that. And I would also try to get some Nidoking breaks in there because Nidoking break doesn't have to rely on your bench having evolution down. It's 120 for a psychic colorless. And with the Malamar, that's really easy to get. You're pulling your energy out of the discard. And that's hitting 240, which is clearing the board against Naginadal and Buzzwall. And plus, even if you don't kill it, you poison the Pokemon and then it does two damage counters instead of one. Yeah. So whenever I think about poison, I think about Seviper and how you can, like, if you have two on the bench, then that two becomes four. So then if you can hit 120, you put a choice that's 150. And then if you have two Seviper on the bench, that's four poison damage. And that goes up to 190, which will kill pretty much every single basic GX.
Well, but that's you could also run maybe Evolutions Nidoking. That does 20 to each Pokemon on your opponent's bench for a psychic colorless and does 100 to the active.
Yeah, and then nice spread damage. Yeah, it's not a bad point either. And then you can still throw the break on because, like you said, that ability does nothing. Like you would never build the deck with that. And the other cool thing too with that Rumble, the first attack on the Evolutions Nidoking, is that they can't retreat. So you're forcing them to use a Guzma or you're forcing them to do something else. And then if you want an ability lock, yeah, if you want to ability lock, then I would say, if you really, really want to ability lock, get yourself a 2-2 line of Garbotoxin. I mean, don't mess around with evolved abilities. Just lock them all down.
Yeah.
But no,
hey, why
I
don't
like
we
it.
Just run, why don't we run Trash Alliance too?
And then throw Espeon well, in there, drop the Nidoking, and then go.
All I can say about this deck is this deck severely, severely has a problem. And that is that I don't see enough for Empardos, but just that's just me. not enough for Empardos. 7 out of 5. I mean, 7.5 out of 10. Anyway, and finish off the trainers, Sigma.
Okay, so we've got 4 mysterious treasure because they're a great item.
yes, they are.
I will stand my ground, and I'll see you on the episode of regrets. Ha ha.
Wait, Jashiro, did you say you didn't like Mysterious Treasure?
Mysterious Treasure is the hill I will die on.
Well, I didn't know that. Did you say it wasn't a good card?
I said it was not very effective, mostly because I don't see how this is that much better than Ultra Ball, even for decks that run those types.
Because you only throw one card away.
I know the logic behind it, but in my mind, okay. it's like, but it's just one card less, and you're limited on the type you're trying to search, and usually, like, it doesn't help you if you're trying to search. Anyway, I know why my mind is, again, I see you on the regret episodes.
I'm sorry. I just didn't know that. I'm still taken aback. I did not.
No, take it in.
Not like,
absorb it.
That was bad, too.
This is this generation's Talonflame for me.
I'm sorry.
Continue on.
Okay. So we've got 2 Rescue Stretcher, 3 Sycamore, 1 Bridget, 4 Cynthia, 3 Guzma, and 4 Ultra Ball with 8 Psychic Energy rounding out the deck.
And then you have PS.
Oh, yeah. PS, he's running Evo Soda instead of Rare Candy because this deck is dirt slow anyway, so I figured consistency is better than speed.
it's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
And he has like 4 Mysterious Treasures and 4 Ultra Balls. It's like, yeah, no, I'm getting what I need.
Well, usually you can cut a couple Ultra Balls when you're running Mysterious Treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially when your entire deck is psychic, with the exception of that Octillery line.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can cut 1 or 2 of them.
So there we are, guys. Thank you so much for writing in. 10 Little Men and Baltuck and Savage comes from the vote now to see which one of these is deck of the episode. I'm going to go ahead and start with Sigma. What's your vote going for?
I kind of like this mess that's the Nidoking deck.
Okay, so your vote goes to the Nidoking deck. What about you, Virula?
I'm actually with them too, and I'm not lying. I actually pulled out like my TCG notebook, and I'm like taking notes for the next like fun deck night, because the fact that I could one shot anything psychic right now in the meta with a Nidoking really makes me happy. So yeah, Nidoking for sure.
Nidoking's wins cross the bar, because that's definitely my suggestion as well. 10 Little Man, you won deck of the episode. Congratulations. As you know, your deck will be featured on the deck, the show notes here, and of course on the Really V. Our boy the Really V is going to make an article for you, for your deck, in Reddit and Facebook. So stay tuned for that. Thank you so much. And yeah, again, guys, the key to winning deck of the episode is creativity. Making a deck, it doesn't have to be a championship deck. It doesn't have to be a tournament deck. It just has to sound like a fun deck. And literally, you can do fun decks with obscure cards. So be creative, be original, and it will, as long as the deck makes sense, right? Even though we know this deck is never going to win, but it sounds like just a blast to play. Yes, that's what we're looking for in deck of the episode. So congratulations, 10 Little Men. And we're headed towards everyone's favorite Pokemon 50 questions, where we get to try to stump our co-host. It's going to be Beaverless' turn to see if he can get it. We'll be right back.
Who's that Pokemon?
And we are back to everyone's favorite Pokemon 15 questions. Who's that Pokemon? Where we try to stump our co-host into figuring out what Pokemon we are thinking. Now, you guys know the rules. Lower your browsers. No Pokedexes, no Game Boys or 3DSs or DSIs or any of those weird technology. No. It has to come from your mind. Secondly, no questions regarding the Pokedex, as in what this Pokemon number, Pokedex number is, or whether or not it's in Leaf Green or, you know, whatever version. It has to be in-game questions only. With that being said, those are really the only real big rules. The order is going to be, we start with Sigma, then follows with Beaverlag, going back to Sigma, so forth, until you reach the end, which is Pokemon 15th question, which it has to be who you trying to figure out what Pokemon it is. So that has to be included as one of the questions. So that being said, let's go ahead and start this right now and do this. So,
Without further ado, as our fearless leader says, Sigma, who's that Pokemon?
Is this Pokemon a Mono-type Pokemon?
It is not.
Okay. All right. Does this Pokemon evolve?
No.
Okay. Has this Pokemon evolved from something?
Yes. Go for Beavila.
Is this a stage 2 Pokemon?
Based on the trading card, right? Stage 2?
Yeah.
No.
All right. So it's a stage. Is the unevolved form the same types? Does it match both types as the evolved form?
You have to. You really have to make me open another tab. It's just so inconsiderate of you.
Usually, you
repeat the question one more time.
Does the pre-evolution share the same types as this Pokemon?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Go for Vivian.
Both of them. Both types.
All right. So just to clarify, it is a dual type stage 1 Pokemon
that shares
the same typing as its previous evolution, correct?
Yes.
Could you run into this Pokemon while surfing?
No.
Interesting. Okay. I like that one.
Yeah, this is why I like having new players and new hosts. Because they come up with really clever questions.
Go away, you stupid bats.
So I would say that kind of gets rid of a lot of flying, and obviously a lot of water, too.
It does.
Or the combination of those. I was wondering if you'd be mean and get Pelipper and just be real rude.
All right. Does this Pokemon have any immunities based on typing?
Yes.
All right. It's a long list of things.
Yeah.
Go for Beaver.
Is this Pokemon larger than a trainer? Like, by size, right? That's on the cards, right? So I can ask that?
Yeah, yeah. Like, is it for sure?
Is it bigger than like a 6 foot tall dude?
No. Okay. Go for Sigma. I was gonna ask, how specific, because the range is a human being.
Yeah, it's like
we have really short humans and really tall humans, so
sorry.
I was gonna ask you did perfectly. I was gonna ask you to specify a little bit more.
Let's see. Is this Pokemon weak to fighting?
It is not. So we have question number 10 there, meaning we have 5 questions left.
Oh my gosh.
Let's let's go ahead and retreat repeat what we know so far. We know that it's a stage 1, right? Well, you go ahead and do this. Well, I don't know why I'm helping you guys.
We know it's a dual-typed stage 1 Pokemon that is the final evolution. And it is not taller than a human and not weak to fighting type.
Okay, so there we go. We're clear on that. We're going to question number 11. And of course, that's our boy Beaverla. So ask away.
All right, so clarification question before I ask it. Is it found in Leaf Green? But like, can I ask, is this Pokemon encounterable in Kanto? Is that allowed?
So region names, it is allowed. The reason why I don't allow games in general is because it's very different asking if it's in Kanto than asking if it's Leaf Green. Because if you ask in Kanto, you do have a good clue. But at the same time, Kanto has been featured in few versions, right? Even remakes.
Yes.
So that changes things. So those questions about whether or not it's in the region, totally allowed. In fact, they're encouraged. So go ahead.
Okay. So is this Pokemon encounterable in Johto?
Okay, that's an excellent question, and the answer to that is yes.
All right, cool.
Okay, So it's before Gen 5.
Hopefully.
That's it.
Unless you did something crazy. I don't even know.
Okay. So we know it can't be a fairy type anymore. That's gone.
Yes.
Well, actually, no, we don't. Because it could be a fairy type. Because they're
retroactive.
Lame.
Yeah. See, that's why regional questions are not that well, not necessarily always that good.
Stupid, so, Mr. Mime.
Well, what about Azumarill, right? That's fairy water, but I don't think you can catch that, run into that while you're surfing.
And that's in
Johto.
Yeah, because Meryl's found in the Cave of Deer.
And he was asking if it was like hard. Like, I don't think the baby would, if you evolved the Azumarill up into a Meryl, that doesn't count as like Meryl down to stage one. It's still basic, no, it right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they
so
got
that
rid of
Azumarill. Yeah, so I guess we could be looking at like a baby that goes up twice. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
We could ask if there's a baby Pokemon.
I'm gonna help you out there. Don't bother.
Okay.
Yeah. With babies.
This is why I asked the "is can it hatch from eggs" question.
Yeah.
But well, that wouldn't help this way.
We could also ask like if I mean, how much it's allowed. If we ask it like if it's a gym leader's Pokemon, is that a question that's allowed?
Oh, for sure. Requires me to do some research, but yeah, sure, it's allowed. 1 second. Is that going to be the question?
It's not mine. I'm just trying to think of ways to narrow this down.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So whose turn is it? Was it Sigma's?
The thing is, I'm not sure if too many gym leaders in the Johto region use second two-stage dual-type Pokemon.
Right? Because there's crossover.
Yeah.
Because like, somewhere, still, if you found it in Johto, you could also find it in Kanto sometimes. But I mean, just to try
like
to.
Like Bugsy doesn't use that thing.
And I remind you that this is question 13, too. The one that we're
going to Yeah, I know. That's why we're discussing it.
Three questions.
Left. Yeah, we're discussing it up there. Whitney doesn't use
What dragon type? What about dragon types? Are there any.
Steelix. All the dragon types were three stage. Because it's Kingdra and Dragonite.
Kingdra's, yeah, that's right, okay.
Actually, I think all of the dragon types at that point were still three stage. So that doesn't
You want to try to guess? Uh-huh. You want to try to guess a typing? It's not weak to fighting. So do you want to try to guess a typing that wouldn't be weak to fighting so we can at least try to narrow down one of them?
The thing is, it's dual type, so that doesn't even help that much. Because if it could be a flying type and a steel type, like, well, it couldn't be a Skarmory, but. Like, So that makes it, dual types make it a pain unless you're looking for immunities.
I'm trying to get things you can run into in Johto. Like, that's all I'm thinking about.
You guys are on the right track. You just have to nail down those types.
Gyarados is.
Well, the real issue.
Right? And you can't run into that while surfing.
Gyarados is used. You find that by surfing, so that's out.
And it doesn't share the same types with its basic.
Yeah.
True.
Magikarp doesn't have flying. Yep.
I forgot that one.
Yeah, you can find it. I think you might be able to find Meryl surfing in
Hoenn. Sigma?
I know, we're trying to figure out something that's worth
just edit it out.
Because we only have two questions.
So far.
Right? We only have two questions left.
No, you have three.
Well, the last
question 13, have to ask 14, and 15. Oh, well, yeah, if you...
15 has...
Okay, yeah, there we go. I got
so we only have two... Yeah, we have two questions to
so what we
figure
have,
out what it is.
Real quick recollection, right? It's dual type. It is a stage one, which doesn't evolve, and it does have a previous evolution, which shares the
That's
same
also
types,
a dual type.
And it's found in Johto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is a pain in the butt because it's Johto.
And it's immune to a type.
To something.
Fighting is not very effective against this guy.
We can ask
or it could
cave.
Be a regularly effective.
What was
we
that?
Could ask that.
What was that?
I was asking if we could ask
if it could be found
in the cave.
Before
so when
that
you said
one,
this,
what you said about the fighting type Sigma?
Oh, we don't know if it's weak, if it's strong, or if it's resistant to fighting or not. We just know it's not weak to fighting.
Okay, yeah.
Could ask if it's resistant to fighting, and that resistant or immune to fighting, and that gets rid of flying, ghost, and fairy, kind of. At least it gets rid of mono type of those, or one type of those.
Ask away.
When you said that it's found in Johto, do you mean that it was that it's actually found in Johto, or that its pre-evolution is found in Johto?
Oh no, it's found in Johto.
Oh, okay, that helps a lot too. Okay, so does this Pokemon resist fighting type?
Yes.
All right.
In fact, because I like Beaverlass so much, I'm gonna say it is very resistant to fighting.
Ooh, wait, that doesn't help that much.
Really, does it?
Okay. Well, maybe it does. We'll find out. So it's definitely not normal, definitely not dark, and definitely not steel.
What is resistant to fighting? What is immune to fighting?
Well, my first thought was a fairy flying type, which is Togetic, but that evolves, so that's not it.
Yeah, and is Togepi considered a stage one? I mean, Togepi is considered a basic one.
Yeah.
So that isn't that gets rid of that. Basic.
Yeah.
So there's fairy.
Fairy resists, flying resists, psychic resists. It could be, but it can't be Mr. Mime because that's a basic.
Yes.
In terms of the TC. So it shouldn't be ground either. Because if it's double resist. Also, it could be a ghost.
Stage two ghosts? Yeah. Well,
stage two ghosts with dual types. It's even smaller than that.
because you can't even do Duskull because it evolves a third time with that item.
And it's mono ghost.
Yeah, I'm really trying to think of fairy type.
It's not banana because it's mono ghost as well.
I'm trying to think of other fairy types.
What am I doing? Why am I helping you guys?
Wait, are there?
What was that?
Are there any stage two ghosts with dual types in Johto?
Is Miss Magius a dual type?
Nope. Pure Johto ghost. Had four ghosts. Original Johto had four ghosts with Gengar.
Yeah, but I think this is part gold Johto. So what other ghosts have two types? There's Miss Magius.
Driflim is one with the dual type.
Driflim is the only ghost.
You got two questions left.
Do you want to ask if one of the types is flying, and then if it is, just go with Drifloom?
Ask if one of the types is ghost. Because getting
rid I think
of...
we okay is one of the types.
Or no?
I think it was submitted. I think I pushed the button.
No. You go ahead.
It's okay.
Well, I was thinking.
Well,
the thing is, we pretty much know it's
Driflim.
Go ahead.
The other thing is bug flying can double resist fighting.
So
and there are
Yanmega.
Yanmega can and Ledian.
And that's flying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's ask if it's bug, and if it's not, we'll go with Driflim.
Yeah.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
All right. Is this part bug?
I'm so glad you went with that question. Yes.
Okay.
Well, now it's only like a 50-50.
Do you want to go Leakin or do you want to go Yanmega?
Well, he said you can actually find the actual Pokemon in the Johto. So Ledian seems more likely because I don't think you can find Yanmega. I think you have to evolve.
How do you do that?
It has to know ancient power. as an attack, which it gets at like level 33 or something.
Let's go with Lydian.
There might be. I don't think there's. Technically, Arianos also resists, but it's not immune to anything, so it's you can ignore that one. Same with Venomoth.
If it is Lydian, that's so mean. I bet he just caught one in Pokemon Go, and that's why he's thinking of it.
I will not react to that question.
I'm thinking it's Ledian. But
all right, go for it.
Is this Pokemon Ledian?
Yes!
Oh my god.
Excellent work, guys.
Brutal.
It is.
You got snailed it. I was getting worried, yes. I selected Lydian thinking this should be a not too hard one, but not too easy one, an in-between one for having Beaverla a first time here on a show. Didn't want to grab something obscure or hard to guess. I guess I chose wrong when I realized, like, I should help him a little bit because I just figured that, yes, if you want to say forgettable Pokemon, Lydian is really up there. It's really up there in those forgettable Pokemon. No,
fun fact, though. Weirdest happy didn't pick up one of the type from, like, Gen 4. That'd be awful.
Oh, and I've done that. And I've
like, welcome to Wormadam Land.
That's excellent. Now, thank you so much, guys. This does mean that it's the end of the episode. Boo, I know. We could have been here all night, and I wish we could. But we do have to continue on. Of course, if you guys like what you hear here, please, if fun doesn't stop here, we have two other shows, the Main Flag with our fearless leader Thatch and Puckle Podcast Show, and then we also have the Game Corner with our King of Mischief and Trivia, our boy Professor Snag, so don't miss those. As well, if you want to continue, be part of the community, which we really, really recommend you do, as you heard Beaverla. We have tournaments, we have activity, we are a fun crowd. If you're looking for a non-toxic, and I know that almost every single place out there is toxic. If you really want a non-toxic Pokemon experience, come here to Pokemon to Puckle. We make sure that our members are taken care of. We have, and not in the mobster style, just in general, taken care of. Please follow us on Twitter at Puckle Podcast. Our Facebook groups, we have two. We have the facebook.com/Puckle Podcast, which is the main group for Puckle in general. And then we have, of course, the facebook.com/Puckle TCG, which is all things TCG here. We just really regurgitate all the news and then comment on all the new stuff that's coming out. Kudos to our boy, the Really V, for keeping that up to date. And then, of course, you can our Reddit and go to r/Puckle, where you will find our Deck of the Episodes articles there as well. And we have their Tumblrs at PucklePodcast.tumblr.com. If you like tumbling, I have never used Tumblr in my life. I have no idea what you do there. I guess you post. Yeah. Yeah, I guess you post funny cat videos there as well, because I've seen that that's the only thing that all social media has in common.
Too old for Tumblr.
And then you have, make sure you review us on iTunes. It helps us keep up and be new and find new listeners as well. Of course, if you have the income to do so and you're not dying of hunger, please, if you can, support and become a Patreon, patreon.com. Find Puckle Podcast and you can donate. Every single cent that you guys donate goes directly back to you guys. All the things that we do for you guys, from the equipment that we buy for making the quality shows that we do, to the prices of every single tournament, which Beaverla can claim for. We got a nice prize for winning second place. What did you win?
Shocked. I was shocked. I got 56 code cards, which I did not expect. I did it just for fun, and I was shocked. And Jushiro, I hate to admit it, I traded those code cards for a Tapu Lele in real life.
That's perfect. As long as you got something good out of it. Real life Tapu Lele, that's nothing to say sorry for. If you got a real life Tapu Lele thanks to our tournament, that's legit awesome. So kudos.
I did. I picked up my third Lele thanks to Puckle.
That's and again, our tournament was free. You didn't even have to pay a dime. You just participated. And by the way, for those of you who are still on the size of whether or not to participate, not only are they free, But we also make sure, so we have a first prize winner and a second prize winner. But our third prize, instead of giving it to a third prize winner, what we do is we randomly select someone who participate. Doesn't matter if they won any game. It's completely random selected. All you need to make sure that your name is pulled out for sure is make sure you participate in every game. Every time you participate, win or lose, your name gets put into that randomizer. And at the end, once there's a first place and a second win, we go ahead to our randomizer and take up who participated. And then from there, we choose a third and we give an equal big prize to them. So kudos for those. I think Domo, right? Dogo? Domo? Was the one who won the randomizer.
So Domobot?
Domobot, yeah. So congrats to him. So please definitely just participate. It's free. Oh, and the prizes also go up depending on how many people participate. The reason why our boy here, Beaverline, D-Babs, and Domobot got so much boosters is because we had a good amount of people participating. So the more people participate, the more we invest in prizes for you guys. So the bigger the tournament, the bigger the prizes. So make sure that for the next one, the theme deck, remember guys, that one is coming for the end of fall. And again, the more people participate, the more prizes there is. So stay tuned for that. And last but certainly not least, if you want to experience all things Pokemon, go ahead to our Discord, people. There you will find someone to talk Pokemon 24 hours a day, either VGC, TGC, trade, battle, whatever you want, you will find someone to participate in Discord, and that's our main source of communication. We're all of our members, and we're constantly, almost all of the hosts are constantly there. I'm only at Lord Jashiro away from people talking to me, so if you want to talk to me or Sigma, Beaverla, Sublime, Gator, we're all at the Discord, really available to have conversations and just interact with you for sure. Now, that being said, thank you so much, Sigma, for being here, as always.
Yep, it was a good time.
Always is with you. And Beaverla, extra thank you for making it tonight. I know it's the scheduling has been kind of hell, and I really appreciate you taking the time to sit here with us.
Oh, it's not a problem. I love coming on here. And if anybody's coming to the North American Internationals here in Columbus, I will be there. Feel free to hit me up on Discord. I live in the area. So maybe we can hang out after we get knocked out round one.
For sure. And for those of you at home, thank you so much for listening. You guys make Poco. You are the reason why we do this every day. So we can already hear the guitar in the background. It's closing time. So with that, I leave you guys and see you on the flip-flop. Thank you. And
time, farewell my friends, I'll catch you on
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.